we've been on a global journey for the past year called Climate Connections with National Geographic. Now that journey is ending.
Our final stories come this month. We are profiling the young people who will witness the shifting climate and also shape it. We will hear from a young climate change skeptic in Maine, Kristen Burns.
In middle school, I remember everyone was like, global warming, the world's going to end, stuff like that. I never really believed in it.
We will also meet Kelly Greenman, who traveled to UN climate talks and heaped scorn on American policies.
Our way of life is not negotiable. Therefore, we can do nothing but impede the negotiations.
And later today on NPR's All Things Considered, young people in Ukraine, where getting used to capitalism seems more urgent than tackling climate change.
This morning, though, we meet the Whiz Kids, who are pioneering a new economy based on carbon. Carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas and the big player in global warming. Now it's spawned a market where traders wheel and deal in something largely invisible, the right to emit carbon dioxide. Fresh out of college, carbon entrepreneurs are discovering that it's a way to make money and, they say, do the right thing for the environment. NPR's Christopher Joyce has the story.
Joshua Albin lives in a brownstone in a part of Washington, D.C., favored by young professionals on their way up. He's having friends over for dinner, Anna Arino and Nathaniel Bullard.
I've never been at your house before.
Good to see you.
All three got jobs right out of graduate school.
Feel free to just throw your bags on my bed. And
they're in demand, and they know it, because they know the carbon market.
Carbon trading is super sexy. I can't tell you how many friends I have that are in big law firms or in investment banking or in med school that just fall all over themselves because this stuff just sounds so cool. You get a chance to make a little bit of money, and you're actually doing something that might actually make a difference.
2 years ago, European governments helped create the market by slapping quotas on how much carbon dioxide many companies can emit from smokestacks. That created a trade in carbon credits, essentially permits to emit. A company that emits too much can buy credits from a company that emits less than its quota, or from someone who builds a green energy project that reduces greenhouse gases. And that's created a swarm of carbon traders, green energy experts, and market analysts. It's not uncommon to start out making $60,000 to $100,000 a year. So what's for dinner?
I've got some fresh sole, and we're going to let it marinate for a little bit.
Are you going to carbonize the fish? Blackened sole.
Blackened sole, exactly. Yeah.
Josh grew up in a family that sold carpet. He has a salesman's quick smile and restless energy. He wrote reports at an environmental think tank, but he found that boring. Now he travels the world, matching buyers and sellers of carbon credits for a company called World Energy.
I think it's fine. Do you need a hand with anything?
I think we're good. If you want to
crack
a red.
Yeah, I can do that. Got the church key?
The market also attracts people like Nathaniel Bullard.
This is Nat.
Nat's a trim 30-year-old with close-cropped beard. He used to teach school in Egypt. Now he's an expert in green energy projects, things like solar collectors and wind farms. These projects generate tradable carbon credits. He says people come to him all the time with weird questions.
Hey, I've got a big pool of, methane-oozing manure at my hog farm in Iowa. What can I do with that?
And in fact, a farmer could earn money on the market by capturing that methane instead of letting it rise into the atmosphere. The third dinner guest is Anna Arino, dark-haired, elegant, and precise. She grew up in Madrid.
I'll have white, as much as I like my Spanish Rioja.
Anna works for a company called NatSource. She analyzes the carbon market for business clients.
This makes money now. Everybody's jumping on the boat. There's momentum, there's excitement. It's dynamic and it's global, and I guess that goes with my, personality.
Anna learned about carbon in the European market.
Personally, I started my career in the power sector, and this is a sector that is monopolized or predominantly white, 60 or 70 and above males, And so this is a lot different.
This is Nat here. I think Anna's got that exactly right. It's also a chance to really make something happen. In that sort of 1950s science fiction terraforming way, make a world look like what it could possibly look like. So, I don't know. It's also a lot of fun. It's nice to be sort of geeky and get obsessive about strange bits of the carbon market that end up being of interest to a lot of other people.
Many people object to the idea of a carbon market, however. It allows a company in Europe or the U.S. to shop around for permits to pollute. They can get them from, say, a factory in Mexico that reduces its CO2 or a new wind farm in India. Critics say these are like papal indulgences. They say rich countries should bite the bullet and cut their own emissions instead of paying others to do it for them. Josh disagrees.
If you really think that the way we live is fundamentally amoral, then just shut everything off. Just shut down all your utilities. I mean, if you really think there's a moral issue, then you have a responsibility to stop living the way you are. In the reality, that's not a possibility. We need a mechanism to transition to a carbon-neutral economy, and there are a couple different ways you can do it. You know, market-based solutions and carbon trading is one of them. It's absolutely not perfect, but I think it's moving in the right direction.
It's not like God is coming down to us and saying, this is moral, this is immoral. No, it's just, you know, society thinking what's the smartest way to live and what's sustainable.
But Nat says there is a moral question about who bears the burden for reducing global warming. Who should change their lifestyle first?
Should we place that burden on developed countries that have the wealth and ability to do so, or onto everybody in a blanket fashion? And that's a sort of tricky question to which I don't have an answer.
Over dinner, talk turns to the future of the carbon market. Yes, it's growing, but it's also supposed to help the world quit using fossil fuels. And if that happens, there's no reason to have a carbon market anymore. That isn't likely to happen soon, though, and in the meantime, says Nat, carbon marketeers can do the planet some good.
This is a sort of hopeful possible future for the way we consume energy, and it's sort of good to be on the right side of history.
And make a pretty good living as well. Sure. Christopher Joyce, NPR News.
We were joking about advertising an internship that said something like, girls, 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 carbon trading.
Look at that.
It's got the market cornered on top.
You can hear more stories at our website, npr.org/climateconnections. And once there, you can get the latest features on global warming from National Geographic magazine.